Okay. All right. Rather's a little rough out here today. You know, most of us think about fishing as being something that's relaxing, don't we? I mean, we fish for the fun of it. We don't really fish for a living. Some of you might. Not me. When I fish, I pretty much fish for fun of it. Pretty much don't catch much, but that's okay. But we kind of know what it's like to be tired and weary and worn out. When we have a day, maybe not on the lake fishing, but a day working, it doesn't turn out quite like we expect it to. Maybe we work hard and don't get much done. I mean, that happens to me from time to time. I come home and I feel like, you know, I worked all day. I'm tired. I just want to grab something to eat and go to bed. But I just don't feel like the day has accomplished much. It usually doesn't happen when you're out fishing. If you don't accomplish much, you've still been out fishing. But that's not true with everyone. In fact, there's a story. There's a story in here about a guy named Simon who went fishing and didn't catch a thing. The only problem was that was his job. That's how he made a living. That's how he fed his family. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to open them up with me to Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. We're going to read that story and see what it might have to say to us today. It's Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, going through verse 11. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's true and holy word? One day Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when he'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you'll catch men." And so they pulled their boats up to shore and left everything and followed him. Father, help us to understand this word and to see how it applies to our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. As we take a look at this passage, something you've probably heard many, many times before, let me set the stage a little bit for you. Simon and his brother Andrew, as well as James and John, had already encountered Jesus. Jesus had come by where they were fishing, and he'd already given them the call to follow me. But at that time, the call "follow me" didn't mean to leave everything behind. It meant to believe in me, to begin to follow me. And there were many people just like Simon was who had a knowledge of Jesus, who had an appreciation of Jesus, but who didn't get up and go with him. And so here on this instance, Jesus is teaching as he normally does, and the crowds begin to gather around him. And he picks Simon out of the crowd and he begins to do something miraculous to give Simon an understanding of him that he'd never, ever had before. I mean, Simon already knew that Jesus was unlike anybody else. He had heard him teach, and we're told that Jesus taught in a way that was with authority. He wasn't like the Pharisees. He wasn't like the teachers of the law. When he taught, it was like God himself was speaking. And not only did he teach, he backed it up. He backed it up with a heavenly power. as he performed miracles. And Simon Peter knew this intimately because he had actually healed his mother-in-law. Which some of you are going, now why in the world would Simon Peter be happy about that? But he was. He evidently had one of those good mother-in-laws like I do. So make sure she gets a copy of this CD. It's serious. I have a great mother-in-law. But he had seen Jesus at work. He'd seen the miracles. He'd seen him cast out demons. He'd heard him teach. He'd heard him preach. And so he had this certain level of faith in Jesus that if Jesus asked him to do anything, he'd do it. And that's precisely what happens in this story. You see, some requests are harder to meet than others. And so let's just walk through this together, shall we? In verse 2, we read that he saw at the water's edge, that is, Jesus saw at the water's edge, two boats that were left there by the fishermen. And they were washing their nets. What's that mean? Well, they didn't fish with a rod and reel like I've got right there. They fish with nets, and there are a couple of different ways you can do it, but most likely the kind of nets that they were having were these nets that would be strung, that would be hauled behind the boat or strung between two boats, and they'd be pulled through the water toward the shore. And they, as they pulled them together, they'd start narrowing the mouth of the net until they were able to start pulling those fish into the boats. And so they're out there basically trolling with a net for these fish, trying to haul them in with this big catch. At the end of their shift, and they usually fished all night and slept during the day, at the end of their shift, they would wash out their nets to get them ready for the next day. Make sure all the debris, everything was out of there, didn't need to be there. And they'd get their nets ready to go back for the next night's fishing. And so when Jesus is coming by, he's teaching most likely sometime in the morning. Here's Simon, Andrew, James, John, all those who are kind of fishing partners. They're washing their nets. Their day's over. They've had a long night of fishing. And so he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to push out a little bit from shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. The people were crowding around Jesus, and it made it hard for him to be able to communicate in a way that people could understand. And so Jesus said, here's a natural amphitheater created by God. He got into the boat. He had Peter push it off a little bit from shore, gave him a little distance from the crowd, but he gained the advantage then to be able to preach and let the water carry the sound into the crowd so that everybody could hear and nobody was getting crushed. And so Simon Peter would hold the boat steady as Jesus sat down and he taught the people. Now Simon probably wouldn't have too big of an issue with this. Again, he loved Jesus. He was a follower of Jesus. And so Jesus asking him to give up a couple of hours of sleep, it's not really a big deal. In fact, every time Jesus preached, he was blessed. So it wasn't such a big deal. Just a couple of hours out of my day, a couple of hours out of my sleep, I can handle this. I can do that for Jesus. And so it goes on in verse 4. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. So Jesus, he finishes teaching, would most likely end it with shalom, peace, and then everything's done. And Simon's thinking, okay, I've been blessed by this. It's been good. It's been a good use of my 2 hours this morning, a good use of skipping that sleep. I can do that for Jesus. And so everything's peachy keen. Okay, now I can row him back to shore. Pull the boats up. I can go now and get some sleep, so I'll be ready to go back fishing again tonight, go back to my regular life, my regular job. But Jesus said, not so fast. And he tells Simon, he said, now row out a little further. Go out into the deep water and put out the nets. Well, and we read this, it's not a big deal to us, but who's the professional fisherman here? I mean, come on, Jesus, you're a teacher. You're a good teacher. Don't get me wrong. But I'm the guy that knows about fishing. I'm the guy with the boat. This is how I make my living. And Jesus, you need to understand something, that these nets I have, these are made for nighttime fishing. The daytime, the fish can see this net. It is not going to work in daytime. As a matter of fact, we've been out all night. That's the time to fish. It's not time to fish during the daytime. There's nothing out there. The fish are on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They're just not around here. He could have argued with Jesus for the rest of the morning about why. And he'd have been right in the sense that he was the expert on fishing. And after all, the nets had just been cleaned. That is 2 hours of labor going through those nets, picking out everything. If we do this again, it's going to be another 2 hours to clean the nets. And let me add this together. Okay, I've been up all night fishing. It's my job. It wasn't just for pleasure. Jesus comes by. He wants me to give him a couple of hours so he can go out and teach from the boat. Okay, that's not a big deal. But now I got 2 hours I've been up because Jesus wanted to teach. And now I've got another 2 hours out here throwing out nets and nothing's going to come of it. And then I got another 2 hours cleaning these nets. I'm not going to get any sleep. I'm going to have to work all night with absolutely no sleep. But he does say, Jesus, because you say so, I'll do it. Now, I'll let you figure in what kind of tone he used on that. Maybe you've had a child who has kind of given that back to you. You know, okay, I'll do it. I have no idea what his tone was. All I know is here the expert on fishermen has been told by someone who wasn't an expert on fishing to go out and let down the nets, and he's going to be no sleep tonight or no sleep today and fishing all night. So here's what happens. Verse 6. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come out and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Simon, Andrew in the boat, they follow Jesus' words and an unexpected thing happens. A very unexpected thing happens. They didn't just catch fish. They caught more fish than they've ever caught before, so many that the nets began to tear, and they had to call out James and John, their fishing partners, had to call them to come out and help them get all these fish into the boats. The haul was miraculous. It's something they'd never seen before. So many fish that it almost sunk both boats. It's not hard to imagine in the midst of that that Jesus would be laughing his head off, pulling at the nets, standing knee-deep in fish. And after managing to pull in this great catch, you'd have thought that Simon would have turned to Jesus and said, boy, was I wrong. You are the expert fisherman. But that is not what happens. Look in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, he fell at his knees, didn't fall at his feet. His feet were covered with fish. Okay, he fell at his knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now listen, Simon believed in Jesus. But the man he believed in was far greater than he could have ever imagined. He knew Jesus to be a good teacher. He knew Jesus to be a miracle worker, most likely the Messiah, certainly someone sent by God. But this Jesus is also Lord of creation. This Jesus can cause things to happen that don't happen in the natural world. This Jesus, he can fish. And Simon realized as he stood before Jesus and began to get a glimpse of the greatness of Jesus and the majesty of Jesus, and he began to get a glimpse of the glory of Jesus and who this Jesus might be, an incredible thing happens as Simon is in this boat with Jesus, up to his knees in fish and bowing down at the feet and the knees of Jesus. He realizes that this Jesus is God's visitation to him. This Jesus is God come to him. And he didn't understand it fully, and he didn't embrace it completely until after the resurrection. But he began to understand that this man was no mere man, that this man was sent from God. And what he says to him is, "Go away from me. I am a sinful man." He didn't say, "Wow, what a great fisherman you are." He said, "Wow, what a sinful man I am." And here's the deal. Rick referenced that in the song he sang this morning. Isaiah, seeing the Lord high and lifted up, high and exalted. Do you know what Isaiah said when he saw that? He didn't go, "Wow, let me get some popcorn and sit back and enjoy this show." Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I have become unraveled in the presence of a holy God." What we see in Simon Peter was similar to what we see in Isaiah when he caught a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. He also, in that heavenly spotlight, saw his own sin far more clearly than he had ever seen it before. And compared to the holiness of who Jesus was, Simon Peter said, "I just need to get out of this boat. I don't even belong here with you." When we read something like that, it helps us to get a better understanding of who this Jesus is that we worship. You see, we love to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And believe me, Jesus is our friend. But he is so much more than just a companion through life and someone who hangs out with us. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty come to us. He is the crucified and risen Savior. And he will be seated on the throne. And when we come to understand who Jesus is, it gives us a much clearer picture of who we are without him. "I am undone. I am unraveled. I am a sinner, and I am unworthy of your presence." And the reason that this boat is sitting in front of this cross is because what you and I need to understand today is what Peter said was true. He did not deserve to be in the presence of Jesus. And we don't either. We, with our sin-stained, corrupt lives, if we were to stand in the presence of God apart from Jesus Christ, we too would be undone. We would come apart at a molecular level. But God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. You see, the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel is that we have a God who loves us so much. Sinners as we are, stained deeply within as we are, worthy of God's wrath, God loved us enough that he sent his son to die on our behalf. The Bible says that God made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, not stained with any sin at all. God made him who knew no sin to become sin, to be sin for us in our place. Why? So that we could become the righteousness of God. Do you get that? Does this not blow you away? I hope so. What we see in Simon Peter as he is kneeling before Jesus and recognizing his own sinfulness, what he's seeing is, "I don't deserve to be in his presence." And he wouldn't understand till after the cross and after the resurrection that it is because of our sinfulness that Jesus had to die on a cross for us. He had to pay the price for us so that we could enter into the presence of God. We boldly, listen to this, we boldly approach the throne of grace. We don't do that on our own. We boldly enter into the presence of God, and God welcomes us. We don't do that on our own. Listen, the only thing that I add to my salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. When we sing that old hymn, "Just as I am," that's what it means. It means I don't deserve this. I haven't earned this. God has every right to just mash me out of existence right now or to cast me into the lowest bowels of hell. God has every right to do that. But what did he do? He said, Jesus, son, go die for them. Go pay the price for them, so that they can come and be where we are. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what some of you have experienced. And until you can wrestle with the depth of your own depravity before a holy God, you will never understand the magnitude of the sacrifice for you. If you think that, hey, I'm okay, God will let me in, you know, I'll get in. He's grading on a curve. You don't understand the cross. You don't understand the blood of Jesus. What you need to know is that you're absolutely hopeless and helpless apart from God's act on your behalf of sending his son. And all he asks you to do is believe him. Trust him. Follow him. Well, if we're going to get through with this scripture, I guess we better get back to it, huh? Let's pick up where we left off. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And so they pulled their boats up on the shore and they left everything and they followed him. Here in the midst of this confession that I'm a sinful man, Jesus did not say, you know what, you're right. Go ahead and jump overboard and drown yourself. He didn't. There wasn't a lightning bolt out of heaven and said, okay, yeah, zap you. It's not what happened. You see, he knew Simon better than Simon knew himself. He knew Simon had rough edges, a rash spirit, more doubts than would have, enough doubts to have sunk the boat. And he knew he had sin. But he said, Simon, I'm going to take you right where you are. And I'm going to make something more. I'm not going to leave you like you are. I've got something better for you. And what I want to do with you, Simon, is to change you from being a fisher of fish to being a fisher of people. I want to take you out of this Sea of Galilee that limits you, and I want to put you out in the sea of humanity. Starting today, Simon, starting today, you'll fish for men. Oh, and you might look at this and say, today's catch was glorious. But what you're going to discover is what you just saw today is gloriously insignificant compared to what I have for you. So row us back to shore. Leave everything behind and follow me. And Simon and Andrew and James and John, they left their nets and their boats, and my guess is the catch behind, to go and to do something greater than they just experienced. When something good happens in your life, when something great happens in your life and you go, life can't get any better than this, what God wants to tell you is that is gloriously insignificant compared to what I have for you. What I have in store for you is so much more than what you're settling for right now. You see, there's a sea of humanity out there. People who are lost, people who are hopeless apart from Jesus Christ. I'm sending you out into that sea. You see, the call for these four fishermen is the call that God has on our lives. I will make you fishers of people. From now on, you'll catch people. That's our call. And so let me pull in this net, try to tie it all together here. I want to share with you a few truths that we can draw out of this that I hope will help you in your life. First of all, Jesus enters into the routine of our daily lives. Did you notice that? It was just a normal day. It was a normal day for Simon Peter. Just finished fishing, didn't catch anything. Probably wasn't the first night that it happened. Tired, hungry, wanted to reintroduce himself to his pillow. Just a normal day. And Jesus comes in. What you need to understand is, yes, you want to invite people to be a part of the life of Grace Fellowship. You want to invite them to church. You want to bring them to church. But you're going to make the biggest impact on people's lives in the midst of their daily routine. You see, when you go anywhere as a follower of Jesus Christ, guess who comes with you? Jesus. And as you're meeting people throughout the day, as you're interacting with people throughout the day, as you're in the midst of your daily routine, that's an opportunity to take Jesus with you. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples. But that verb for go, that verbal form there, can just as easily say, as you go. While you are on your way, while you're going through your routine, while you're living your life, make disciples. Go fish. Secondly, Jesus may call us to do things that may not always seem to make sense to us. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. There are the occasions where I'm sitting there and I'm just enjoying my meal at Waffle House or some other restaurant. I'm just enjoying my meal and the Lord lays it on your heart. You know what? You need to give this person a $20 tip. And you're thinking, Lord, are you insane? I only spent $7 on the meal. Even if I'm generous and give 20%, that's only $1.40. And if I want to round it up, that's $2. But 20? Nancy and I had this experience together sitting at Waffle House one Sunday morning. I think it was a Sunday morning. It may have been after Easter service or something like that, sunrise service. We were sitting there and we began to engage the lady in conversation. And at the end of that, Nancy and I looked at each other and we said, we need to give her $20. We did it. Now, I'm not bragging about me. Listen, it is not easy for me to give a $20 tip. Listen, it's not easy for me to pay $20 for a pair of pants. I don't like to give up $20 too easily. Sometimes he calls us to do things that don't make sense. I don't normally hand out money to people that I see on the street, but there are times where God says, you need to do it. You got a five tucked back there. I know you plan to eat a happy meal with that, but come on. There are times he calls to do things that don't make sense. Can I tell you something? Do it anyway. Trust him with the results. Third, we can always find reasons not to obey the call of Jesus. Good intentions are often sidetracked by great excuses. There's lots of reasons to say no to Jesus. Peter had them, didn't he? You don't understand. The fish aren't going to be out right now. We've already been out all night. We didn't catch anything. Got to wash the nets again. He had all the world of excuses, but he said, and I don't know what his tone was, but he said, okay, but because you asked me to do it, I'll do it. That needs to be our attitude. Jesus, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Lots of reasons not to do it, but if you're asking me to do it, I'm going to do it because I follow you. You don't follow me. Fourth, Jesus can do the impossible. Get your heads around this one, folks. What's impossible with men is possible with God. I don't think the word impossible is in God's dictionary. He can do anything. He can reach anyone. Now, I don't want to pick on anybody, but we've got some. As I look back there, we got a lot of precious people in this church. Two of the precious people in this church are Bob and Brenda Christian. But do you know how many years that Brenda prayed for Bob? I mean, that sorry heathen wouldn't accept Jesus. He'd show up at church from time to time. He didn't have anything against Jesus. He just didn't have anything for him. But she kept praying. And she kept praying. And she kept praying. Until through a presentation of the gospel, he asked her one night, "Would you get out the back of that bulletin? Would you share how to be a Christian with me?" Brenda never said it was impossible. But there might have been a lot of people that knew Bob who said it was impossible. But nothing's impossible with God. That person you say, "You know what, I thought about writing them on that list, but I can't write that person on my list. I'm not even sure God would want them." That person will never come to know Jesus. Write it down. Begin to pray and see what God can do that you can't do. Fifth, our sinful nature does not disqualify us from serving Jesus. I don't know what you've done in your past, but I got to tell you what, God knows. God knew everything about Simon Peter's life, and he still said, "I choose you." Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're going, "God couldn't use me. God, with everything I've got in my life, with my past and with my present, God couldn't use me." I got to tell you something. God's sitting right here right now and saying, "I choose you. Choosing you. I know what you're like, and I love you anyway. And I don't plan to leave you like that. Follow me." And lastly, Jesus has a greater and higher calling for each person who follows him. Don't sell God short. You may think that your role is just to exist until you die. Maybe to earn enough money to have a halfway decent retirement so that you don't have to eat Alpo, which I don't think is too cheap anyway. You may think this life is about living and existing and dying, but God's got something more. There will be some of you who will stand before the King, and you will see the fruits of the labors of your life. That time where you, the Lottie Moon mission offering came around in December, and you looked at that thing and you said, I don't think I can give anything to this, but I feel like God's leading me to put 50 bucks in. And what you're going to discover in heaven is that investment helped support a missionary in Singapore who led a 13-year-old young boy to Jesus Christ, who grew up to become a pastor, who evangelized that area. And that $50 that you thought was so hard to give is turned into souls. What you're going to see is that encouragement that you spoke to that hurting person as you told them about the peace that Jesus gives to you. You never saw it. But at some point, they knelt down and they said, "If she can do it, I can do it. If God can save her, God can save me." And that young woman comes to faith in Christ and leads her children to Christ. And what you find out when you get to heaven is, "God, what I thought I was going to do was insignificant, but what you did with it, to you be the glory." This church has an immense potential to radically reshape our county and community. But it won't happen until we're willing to pull our boats up on the shore, to look back at what we thought was good and follow Jesus, who wants to take us to great.